Hallelujah. Today is another day for us to deal and feed on the Word of God. We are going to actually continue with what we actually started yesterday. And today I want us to move to John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Word is really a food indeed. We ask that, Lord, as you give us meat in due season, may your Holy Ghost have his way in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that, Lord, may your grace and mercy, may we find it even as we deal on this word. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, even as we are blessed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, brethren, we identify that the whole entirety of Christianity, of the worship, evolves around the revelation of God. Hallelujah. When we look at the scriptures and what has been actually given unto mankind, you see that it is based on a revelation. And as we lay the foundation, the revelation must be judged and given by God Himself. It is not based on any man's ideology. Is not based upon any man's creed. It is not based on any man's creed or dogmas, but is based upon the Word of God. And that's why William Branham, the prophet of God, made a statement. He said, when you read the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, if you don't see this one thing in between the verses, which is Christ, then go back and read it again. Hallelujah. Because the scriptures is the entire revelation that has been handed unto mankind. And that is the complete revelation that God has actually given unto to mankind. And that's why the Bible says that no one should add and nobody should actually subtract. So if we have taken this, we will see that the entirety of God's word is the truth. Hallelujah. But on looking at creation, which actually begins from Genesis, and the whole thing is in a way that every word has been rightly placed according to God's own thoughts. That is from Genesis to Revelation. And these thoughts were rightly overlaid. So there is one thing that a man of God should not do. A man of God should not misinterpret the word of God. A man of God should not misplace the word of God. And a man of God should not misrepresent the word of God. Because a little living, any misplace of any iota of the word. It actually dislocates everything. Hallelujah. And that's why Isaiah prophesied that line upon line, it should be line upon line. So everything that it speak, it should line up from Genesis to Revelation. But if a scripture lifts its head against that revelation, then you have to put it down. Hallelujah. So you can see that the whole worship that we are talking about was based upon the revelation of God. When we actually studied this scripture, it said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And that Word was God. Take notice of it. That Word wasn't God's. So there were no three gods in the beginning. There was only one God. And that's what the Bible said. And the Word was God. Now, when you examine actually something about this scripture, as we are talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, based upon the prophetic revelation, Trinitarians have been able to delve into it, and they came out that Jesus pre-existed in the beginning. Now, when we look at this word, actually, nothing about this word showed that there was a three God or two God. It was only one God. And that's why the Bible says that, and the Word was God. Now, to also interpret this scripture, to say that, because the Bible says that, and the Word was with God, and for that matter, that Word was Jesus in the beginning, then you are creating a dual God. And that is what we have to actually take notice about. Because the Bible didn't say Jesus was with God. It said the Word was with God. So there we allow the scripture to interpret itself, other than using our own man ideas to explain the Word. You know, we used to say a lot of things. And I believe that God uses his prophet to preach his word. And according to the revelation of the scriptures, the Bible also made us to understand that God is in one time, he actually uses prophet to speak to his children. But the scripture also made us understand that, but in this last day, God spoke to us through the Son. The Son is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Word. So everything that the prophet says must come back to the Word of God. If it sounds in the Word, then you take it, even as the prophet taught us. That if he says anything which actually does not, come in line with the Word, we should take what is in the Word of God. So the Trinitarians have been able to create Jesus in this quotation. And that's why I said the worship that we said, because the Bible says that, for God is a spirit, and they that must worship me in spirit and in truth. And this truth is based upon the revelation of the Word. Anybody can take a scripture, talk about it, but it must be consistent with the revelation of the scriptures. Hallelujah. For example, when Jesus Christ told the disciples, they should go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You may just take that verse, create a trinity out of it, But when we look at the consistency of the revelation that was actually given to the apostles, they really understood what Jesus Christ said. And the Bible says that, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So they got to know that the name which is embodying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that name is Jesus Christ. So, brother, it is by the revelation of the Word and the Spirit. It's not with any man's ideology. So, in the beginning that we are talking about, in the beginning of John chapter 1, verse 1, it is far different from the beginning that we saw in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I want to lay a foundation here. So, when we examine the Word of God, the Bible says that, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we begin to understand that God, even before Genesis began, he had a counsel. And you know, God is eternal. God has no beginning and God has no end. But the Son has a beginning. Hallelujah. God has no beginning and God has no end. So that word that he counseled within himself, that word was in him. Hallelujah. Which is his thinking, how he counseled. Because the Bible says that the whole universe was created by his pleasure, according to his will, the will of the Father. So he purposed something in the beginning, and that was his counsel. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So we now understand back in Genesis, when God now actually started creation, and he began to say, let there be this, and there was that. Let there be this, and there was that. So you see that something actually transpired. And that is why we are actually gathered here today. When we look at the scripture, the Bible made us understand that God placed man in the garden. And when this man was placed in the garden, and when the woman was actually taken out of the man, later something transpired which led man to fall. Hallelujah. Now, when man fell, man covered himself with fig leaves. Hallelujah. So the religion that we are talking about actually started. I want to read it. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The religion that we are talking about actually started. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So, after man fell, man covered himself with apron. Now, we have to actually understand something here. Adam and Eve, when they fell, in fact, the man actually wasn't deceived. Adam was not, but he identified himself with the wife. Hallelujah. Now, when the fall of man came, they covered themselves, and according to the prophet of God, he said that covering is religion. That covering is religion. So there, man's ideology trying to cover, amen, as we saw today. Today, people have covered themselves with religion. They just want to be religious, but they don't want to be spiritual. They just got it enough just to go to church and to continue with their sins. They just got it enough to be recognized with a position in the church. They just got it enough to just be in the church and still practicing their religious activity. Hallelujah. So it was not for man to just cover himself with leaves. Because the fall wasn't about leaves. And that's why when we look at, you know, carnal interpretation of the word, people think that it was apple. People even go to the extent of saying that it was actually something that Adam and Eve ate. And which are all carnal interpretations. It was far beyond that. The moment both sinned, they saw that they were naked. Why were they trying to cover, their hands at their sex organ? So something should tell us that there was a perfection that took place. They partook something that was perverted. And leaves, covering themselves with leaves, actually wasn't this, was not actually the situation, was not actually the remedy. So after the fall, God now covered them with coat of skin. So there the understanding comes. Hallelujah. God now covered them with coat of skin. Amen. So you will see that. And Adam, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And to Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coat of skin and clothe them. So God now took away their covering and now God now covered them. So brother, sister, it is not how man actually want to approach God. It's not how man actually want to, see it. There are people today who talk based on how they understand. No, it's not about how you understand. It is about what God wants you to understand. It is about God's own way of approach. The way God actually wants us to worship Him. And that is how we have to go. Not according to our approach. Not according to any bishop. Not according to any man's ideology, but according to the revelation of the word of God, which is given by God. So it is God who has called you. And the Bible says that you didn't choose me, I chose you. So if he said that no man can come unto him unless he draws him, then it is he who must give you how you should worship him. Hallelujah. So we understood prophetically that if God should cover them with a coat of skin, then there should be a shedding of blood. Because in everything, the Bible says that that was in the Old Testament. So the law and the remedy was that tooth for tooth and eye for an eye. So if blood was involved in the fall, because something was actually injected into human race. We have a lot of people actually today who will tell you that man must be born again, actually, because man was born by a woman. And for that matter, we had a wrong birth. Hallelujah. I tell you that it is far beyond that. When we actually study the Word of God, the Bible lets us understand that without the shedding of blood, there cannot be any remission of sin. And David also confirmed that it was in sin he was born and shaping in iniquity. So David, how was he born? So from the blood, you see that David was born in sin. If it's by woman, Jesus Christ was born by a woman. And that would have even made Adam more superior than what Jesus Christ, because Adam was not born by a woman, but Jesus Christ was born by a woman. But that is not it. Something was involved in the blood, and that's why Jesus must bypass the normal way of conception. So Mary's blood has nothing doing with Jesus Christ. So this is prophetic. Hallelujah. So from the word go, something transpired. And that's why the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every child that is born now and then, that child is born in sin, shaping in iniquity. A child, when they begin to grow, you don't teach them how to sin. You don't teach them how to steal. You don't teach them how to insult. But naturally in the blood, they know how to do this. So one man's sin has destroyed a whole lot of generations. So there have to be a remedy. So the coat of skin began actually something. Now, when we went on, the Bible also made us to understand actually something, and that was really prophetic. When Abel and Cain, hallelujah, began to worship God. Now, we have understood that when Abel and Cain made an offering, two religions began, and one was carnal and one was actually spiritual. Now, the Bible made us also to understand that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of that fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his word offering. So there, these two religions, one was of God and one was of Satan. Now, I want to quietly speak on this. When we actually study, you know, carnal interpretation will tell you that Cain had a rotten fruit, and that is why his offering was not accepted. In fact, I beg to differ on that, because when we actually study the Bible, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says something there. He said that through faith, okay, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speak. Hallelujah. So you will see that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent. So Cain, who have brought the fruit of the ground, which could be good, but not as rotten as how people were actually describing it. But Abel's sacrifice had something beyond, because the Bible says that he brought first of the flock, which is the lamb, and made a sacrifice unto God. So you see that Abel's sacrifice was based upon a revelation that God revealed unto him.
He sacrificed. When we actually study it, you see that it actually coincides with what actually happened in the fall. That God need a remedy, and that there must be the blood of a lamb that must appease this sin. So you understand that Cain, though he did an offering, and we could see these two worship even till today. This is so prophetic. Carnal interpretation, carnal ideas, and you see the kind of deed or attitude that follows those carnality. And you see that the children of the wicked ones are always persecuting the children of God. They want to persecute the children of God. So it's not just about we knowing some religious laws and all stuff. Which spirit is behind those words? Which spirit is behind those attitudes? Because Cain had a carnal religion. A religion based on falsehood, not based upon the revelation of God. A religion that contradicts the revelation of the word of God, and it is not consistent with the truth. Cain could have a sincere heart towards this offering to do everything, as we have seen even today. Denominations are so sincere in what they are doing. But if it's not based upon the revelation of God, brother, sister, forget it. Abel's worship was based upon the revelation of the word, because there was a remedy that was to be made, and God honored it. I want to conclusively talk upon the sacrifice of Abraham. The Bible also made us understand that Abraham, when God asked him to go and sacrifice the son, on the way, the son asks, what are they going to use for the sacrifice? So you see that Abraham has taught his student, his son, Isaac, the way of how to even worship God. So Isaac knew that if we are going to do a sacrifice, then there must be something that we must use. And prophetically, Abraham said, God shall provide unto him a lamb. Oh, amen. God shall provide unto himself a lamb. And prophetically, Abraham actually stands for God, God in the spirit form as a father who have laid Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That day when he placed the lamb of God, that day when Abraham went to do the sacrifice, God actually provided him a lamb. And that lamb was a sheep, which was used as a sacrifice. So you see that blood was actually involved, all pointing to Calvary. So there cannot be a restoration without redemption. The whole scriptures, when you read it, you should identify one thing: Christ. Christ, which is the revelation of God. And that is the monogenesis that sprang out of God. Christ. We read in the Bible where David, who was a king, was persecuted by the son, and David would have to run into the wilderness, all talking about the rejected king, that one day Jesus Christ, from his own brothers, they took him to that cross. Hallelujah. The rejected king. The Bible says that the stone that they have actually rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Likewise, we also saw in Joseph, you see that the entirety of the scripture reveals Christ. Joseph, who was also betrayed by his own brothers, and later his own brothers will have to come and pay obeisance unto him, talking about how Jesus Christ, from his own brethren, They took him up, thinking that they are done. And a time will come, in the name of Jesus, when the gospel is given back to Israel, they will come and identify that, this was their own brother that they have fought. Done soon. So, brother, sister, I'm going to end here. May God inspire us with these prophetic revelations so that we walk in His understanding. May God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, even as we walk throughout our daily activities. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.